He seemed to, I mean, I think he's taken, like this is an antagonistic. The other place for Papancha is predominant is in Anguttara Nikaya 8. I believe there's a monastic who goes through the seven, I think seven, you remember seven qualities of a great man or something?
Yeah, Nipa Papancha.
Yeah, and then the eighth, and he's proliferating. This is how I read the sutta. He's proliferating, you know, these qualities of a great man. The Buddhist recognizes he's doing this as mine. He goes and sees him and says, you're missing one. One, Papancha, over proliferation, a great man also is Nipancha, not proliferating. And this brings this monastic to enlightenment. And I mean, I really read that as
Anuruddha, I believe it's.
Yeah, it's Anuruddha.
It's Anuruddha.
Yeah, I, you know, my sense was that that's, it's not a rebuke, you know. I've never read that as a rebuke. You're thinking too much.
I don't think he's thinking of a rebuke. Oh. Well, I mean, I think he's saying, hey, I felt that he was saying, that was pointing out an obstruction. I mean, he realized that this overthinking was not thinking or over proliferating is what he needed to, you know. That's how
I've never taken it that way, but maybe, you know, that doesn't mean it.
I always took it was, that's right.
Yeah. And here's one more.
Here's one more.
Yeah, that's the way I've always interpreted it.
They are correct, but that was his, I mean, once he got the one more, don't overthink, he, you know, that was enlightenment.
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm not sure that was his
enlightenment. Maybe I overthought it.
So your point being, anyway, that...
Well, I mean, see, like, with Ajahn and Jeff and the subjectification, while he's talking about seeing maybe stuff that's really happening at that feeling point, like this creating a duality, and whereas you go through, you know, it's after the line on thinking, so it's really...
Well, that's what I was going to say. Actually, there's a number of spots where Gopacha is put in a causal thing.
Yeah,
this sutta, but this sutta is the only one which actually the Kapka comes...
First,
Papancha.
Yeah.
There's places in this, Sutta and Vika Nikaya 21, where it's actually before, it precedes thinking.
It, so, and if you'd like a, you know, information on that, Ajahn Jeff goes into that very same discussion in detail in other parts of this book. I wasn't going to necessarily read it out, but yeah, he compares the fact that this sutta, Papancha, appears where it does in relation to Vitaka, and it's different in other ones. And then he goes to explain why he thinks that is, that both are valid in their own context.
I think, too, I mean, this is, I mean, when we look at the different ways that Paticca-Samuppada sort of develops, I mean, it's a circular process, whereas Papancha happens, and then we think in that context, and it aggravates Papancha. And so then you get this loop of, however you want to call it, objectification or whatever, but I can see how when I call something like a person, oh, a person is this way, and then I think about those qualities, I reinforce that objectification, and soon it solidifies it into itself.
Right.
And also, I'd also like to mention that the Buddha uses different words to talk about too much thinking. In both Vitaka Santana Sutta and also the Dvaita Vitaka Sutta, he uses a different phrase. He uses Atichiram Anuvitaketi Anuvichareti. So, like, there's three parts in that phrase, which means, like, too far, too much, overthinking, over pondering, maybe translation. So, when he's talking about, like, excessive thinking, it's a problem, and he provides tools for it, but he also doesn't use the word Papancha anywhere in those.
He resorbs, besorbs, resorbs.
It's Anguttara 9, 8. 8, Anguttara 8.
Anguttara 8, Sutta number.
I'm not going to be able to read everything.
number 30.
30.
Sorry.
I kind of figured this might stimulate some discussion.
A lot of ink has been spilled.
Yes. Concept in reality is one, if you're really interested.
And he derives that translation of Popanja as proliferation from the root of the word, which is all good in its way, but in a talk I was listening on this subject, Ajahn Jesser points to that and says, that's a way of doing it, but you can't always depend on the root of a word to indicate the way that it's used in context. He gives the example of the word terrific. If you look at the roots of the word terrific and use it,
terror, fear,
something that inspires fear, and it's changed over time, so now we use it to mean really good, because it hasn't always meant that.
Anuruddha's, after he receives a teaching from the Buddha, he spent that next residence right there at that place, and that's where he, dwelling alone, withdrawn, heedful, ardent, resolute, in no long time realized for himself direct knowledge.
So not necessarily related.
Yeah, it wasn't a direct. It was obviously, an important encouragement. For Anuruddha, prior to his practicing in solitude, but it wasn't Sariputta listened to that teaching, and then he was enlightened.